Now for another installment in our series, Crime in the City. Today we hear from a crime novelist on how the city he writes about also reflects his own story. Here's our colleague David Green in Philadelphia.
The City of Brotherly Love. It's where the book The Last Confession takes place.
Have your tickets out. All aboard.
I met the author, Solomon Jones, inside the 30th Street train station, and I asked him to read a key scene from the novel, which plays out right there.
By 1:30, 30th Street Station was a madhouse. Trains were backed up. Amtrak police with dogs and rifles were patrolling the stations and platforms. Sandwich and coffee shops were closed. Commuters were afraid. And it was all because of an angel.
That angel is a real statue that towers over the station's ticketing area. It's the angel of resurrection. Turns out this statue is an important symbol not only for the novel, but in Solomon Jones' life. He went on with the passage.
Today, that depiction of the Archangel Michael lifting a fallen soldier, flanked by Greco-Roman columns stretching nearly 100 feet from floor to ceiling, was surrounded by crime scene tape, and the dead man at the statue's base was not about to be swept up to heaven.
So there's a dead body right here in your story.
There's a dead body right here in my story.
And who's dead? Who was killed?
This is a priest who was a witness to one of the murders that was committed. So at this point, my antagonist, the Angel of Death, is killing off people and setting up this final confrontation.
You said that the body that we would be looking at if we were standing here inside in your story was one of many murders in the book. Who's doing the killing?
Well, then I'd give away the end of the book.
In general, it's a lot. I mean, it's young men largely.
Right.
And they seem to be just sucked into the evil of the city, the heroin, the killing. Mm-hmm. I mean, what does that say about Philadelphia?
Well, one of the things it says is that Philadelphia for a long time had some of the purest heroin on the East Coast. Hmm. And I think as we go around the city today, we might see some of these same young people who have sort of been sucked in by that.
Where to from here? Where are we going to get a feel for that?
Oh, we definitely need to go to Center City.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because Center City is the place where all of this stuff meets.
So this is 15th and Market up here?
Yeah, 15th and Market is the next block up. We need to cross now. The killers in the book are all people who are strung out on heroin. And this is the place where I first noticed the pattern of these young white suburban kids who come to Philadelphia and are kind of stuck here because of that drug habit.
There's something so symbolic about, in your book, those kids being sucked in by the Angel of Death.
I mean, you know, death comes in a lot of forms. Death can come as an angel, which is at first, you know, it's beautiful and it feels great. And then by the time you're sucked into it, it's too late. You can't get out.
Sounds like a drug addiction.
That's what addiction is like. And I love to explore that in the stories I tell, you know, having been there.
Having been there, it sounds like you've been there.
I've been there. Grew up in a working class neighborhood. My parents got divorced when I was 14. As I got older, you know, some of the things that everybody else was doing, I began to do. Although I had gone to the same school that my daughter just got into, this great magnet school in Philadelphia.
High expectations, I'm
high sure. Expectations. I was going to be the first college graduate in my family and the first one to really make it, and I fell off. I went from alcohol to marijuana to cocaine to crack and ended up on the streets of North Philly trying to find my way. And there were times when I didn't want to find my way. It's like, okay, I'm going to die like this. This is it for me.
How long were you homeless? How long did you consider yourself homeless?
I was in and out. It was all attached to addiction. I would stay clean for a year and then go back out for 3 months and be homeless. It ended for me in the winter of 1996 and ended up contracting a case of bacterial pneumonia. Somebody took me from a drug house in their little ramshackle car that was barely running and took me to Temple University Hospital. They put tubes in my back and they put an oxygen mask on my face and they put a heart monitor on my finger. Now, I remember the doctor coming in. He said, you know, when you came in here, you only had a 50-50 chance of walking out alive. You know, so I consider myself fortunate to still be here. And so if I can impact other people, what's up, man? All right, now.
He knows your book.
Yeah. You know, if I can impact other people, you know, be a role model for my children, if I can be a good husband to my wife, hey, man, that's what I want to do, because I don't have a minute to do anything different.
You talk about all the good. I mean, going to a magnet school in Philadelphia and having a lot of talent,
yeah.
And then all the bad.
Yeah.
You know, the addiction.
And how you doing?
I was just at the seminar.
Oh, yeah. You were in the workshop, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You going to write your story?
Yeah, I'm writing my story.
All right, that's what's up. What's your name?
Greg.
Take care of yourself, man. Thanks for saying hi. I'll see you later.
But moments like that must be pretty important to
you. Moments like that are great, because I realize that I'm impacting young people. And, you know, hopefully when they get to that point where they're at a crossroads and they're kind of at the end of themselves, they'll remember that and they'll make the right decision. And one day you'll be interviewing them.
I'm amazed, because your book,
yeah,
could easily be read sitting on the beach as just another crime novel.
Yeah.
The one thing that struck me that made it different was the first line in the acknowledgments.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you could read that.
Sure. First, I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who snatched me off the streets and gave me a second chance at life.
It's the one place where you kind of come into your book,
yeah,
but pretty powerfully.
Yeah. My faith has taught me a lot about how to be a man. And it has been the thing that has really allowed me to take advantage of the gifts that I've been given as a writer and as a man, and I will be forever grateful for that.
Solomon, thank you so much for sharing your book with us, sharing your city with us, and sharing your story with us.
You're welcome.
Solomon Jones is the author of The Last Confession. Read an excerpt and see photos at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Renee Montaigne.